All right, this afternoon, turn to the 31st Psalm. I mentioned this, I don't remember whether it was last Lord's Day or the time day before, the Lord's Day before. But I looked at this 31st Psalm, and there's one phrase in there that I want us to kind of think about for a few moments this afternoon, and it struck me, and I'd just like to share some thoughts with you on it. We're going to read, though, beginning at the first verse, and read down through at least verse 15. He says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Let me just stop there for a moment and say this. You can feel the pleading here. You can sense the pleading with God. And this psalmist, he's in trouble. This is not an exercise in acting. He's in some kind of deep trouble, or for some reason his soul is troubled within him. And we find the psalmist like this in a lot of cases, don't we? I mean, we find him pleading with God, and it has been particularly interesting to me and informative to me. Hold your place there at chapter 31. You can turn over there if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't need to. In Psalm 42, for instance, in the last verse, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." He says, "For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And in chapter 43, in verse 5, he says the same thing. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And we'll see some more of this as we go along, even in this 31st chapter, and some other places that we'll be looking at in just a moment. But he's pleading with God. It is the sorrow of his soul that is coming forth here that we're experiencing. But the question is, and well, I should say the fact is that it's typical of all of God's people. How often do you find yourself pleading with God? So we go on in verse 4. He says, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Now, it almost seems that he's contradicting himself in places, doesn't it? I mean, on the one hand, he says, "For thou hast considered my trouble, and hast not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." But then immediately, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Now the phrase that I want us to consider is that one in verse 14, thou art my God. He is in trouble. He flat out states it unequivocally. He says, I am in trouble. Thou hast considered my trouble. Again, I am in trouble. He's pleading with God, and do you sense in there somewhere that there is a question in his mind? Whether or not, maybe, has the Lord forgotten him? There are times when it would seem that God, almost like he has forgotten, right? You call upon him, and it seems like, well, he's not hearing you. And in fact, once again, over in the 18th chapter of Luke, he implies that there are going to be times, and specifically one particular time, when it's going to seem like God doesn't hear. Because he admonishes us that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Which implies, again, that there's going to have to be some, again, patience and waiting upon the Lord, and yet continuing in the faith. But in the 74th Psalm, begins that very psalm, he says, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Now, has God actually cast him off forever? No, but it seems like that sometimes, that God has cast us off forever. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. But hast thou cast us off forever? Now, again, knowing the word of God, we know that that is not so. Behold, I will be with thee for how long? Forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But sometimes he hides his face from us, and of course there is a reason for that. There is a purpose for that. And that is to cause us to consider, well, why, Lord? Why hast thou done this? And it's usually because of some sin or some complacency that we have gotten into that, you know, we've kind of forgotten God. But in Hosea, the 5th chapter of Hosea, and we'll just read a few verses here. He says in verse 11, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, what will they do? Well, they'll seek me early. So there is a purpose for that. But God's people, all of God's people, experience this from time to time. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, I believe we see how the apostle himself experienced this. You know, we always think, well, the apostles, they could never doubt, could they? They never experience any kind of doubt or fear or anxieties or anything. I mean, they were strong, Christian men that the Holy Ghost had spoken to and given them these words. But you know what? The Holy Ghost also wrote these words, for instance, or gave the Apostle Paul, inspired him to write these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he says, for instance, in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you would think that somebody that had this in the power of the Holy Ghost would never have any problems, wouldn't you? No trouble. Could never be trouble. But then we read, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We are what? Well, we're troubled. We're troubled on every side. But we're not distressed. In other words, though we're troubled on every side, we do not lose our hope, do we? We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Now, this is exactly what the psalmist is experiencing here in Psalm 31. Do you ever have any doubts? Ever have any fears? Ever have any anxieties? Ever have any question in your heart or in your mind? The psalmist did. In chapter 22 of the Psalms, it's one of those what we call messianic psalms. And once again, it begins the same way. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where have we heard those words before? The very, very words that Jesus expressed on the cross just before he gave up the ghost. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? How much do we consider, Bruce, the dying of the Lord and the suffering that he experienced? And how can we know something of what went through his mind? Now, you know, again, when we think about Christ, we know that he was God. And we know that God himself, he cannot experience these things. It's impossible for him to experience these things. It was impossible for Christ to, as God, to sin. And yet he had a humanity. I've heard people say a lot of times, you know, well, Christ was impeccable. In other words, he couldn't sin. And he couldn't be tempted to sin. I've heard many preachers say that. And yet my Bible says he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. But it doesn't mean, it didn't say that he couldn't be tempted. It says he was tempted in all points, such as we are. He was without sin, though. He did not succumb to that temptation, but he was tempted. Folks, he felt the same things that we feel. He felt pain. He felt hunger. I believe he even felt disappointment. As we were reading that 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, it seems that he was You know, he felt the disappointment in with the people there. But it was in his humanity. Now, again, I can't explain to you, and you can't explain to me how we can separate, or he could separate, his humanity from his Godhead. Nobody can explain it. And God hasn't tried to explain it. Oh, yes, well, they've done everything that they're not supposed to and nothing that they have supposed to. So, you know, we know that. But no wonder Christ can relate to us. You know, again, it's not so much in really of relating to Christ. It's Christ relating to us. And thankful that he can. But what am I driving at here? What I'm driving at is that in all of his troubles, the psalmist comes down to this. He still said, "Thou art my God." And in this 22nd psalm, this messianic psalm, again, how can God forsake God? Well, again, he forsook Christ in his humanity. And again, we can't explain that, don't want to, don't even want to try to explain it. We know that it's so. But it goes on, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not." And then in the night season, "And am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Again, the very thing that happened to Christ in his crucifixion. And that's why we call it a messianic psalm. But my point again is, in all of this, what was the Spirit of Christ? It was, "No matter what, thou art my God." There have been times in my own life, and I can relate that, but I'm sure there have been times in yours to a more or less degree, but there have been times in my own life when I was almost sure that God had forsaken me totally, completely, and yet there was something. There was something in me that kept saying, "Thou art my God." There's something that the worst of times and the worst of fears could not quench. But it kept saying, "Thou art my God." That's the way it was with Jesus. And again, I don't understand that, but I know that in his humanity he suffered the same things that we suffer, or we suffer the same things that he suffered in his humanity. That's why the apostle could pray like he did. "Oh, that I might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, and the power of his resurrection. We know something. As Brother Bruce and I were talking earlier, we'll never, thank God, we'll never experience what he experienced totally. And yet, there is a measure in which we experience the doubts, the fears, but the Holy Ghost keeps saying, "Thou art my God." Again, I've made the statement several times that, you know, if you really want to know whether you are a Christian, try to not be one. You can't not be a Christian if you are one. Because the Holy Ghost is going to keep saying, "Thou art my God." Thankfully, he will not allow you, if you're one of his, to forget. You cannot forget it. You cannot get away from it. And no matter what the circumstances in your life are, there will always be that voice within you that is saying, "Thou art my God." How many of God's people, how many in the Scripture, but how many multitudes since the day of Christ have gone through trials and tribulations and persecutions when there's no doubt there was a great temptation to deny God, but they couldn't do it. No matter what, cannot deny God. Verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." Isn't that so? Has he not known you from before the foundation of the world? You didn't know him, but he has known you. And we're still told, "The Lord knoweth them," right, "who are his at his coming." Now, we said earlier, you know, some believe that they were, you know, saved back before the foundation of the world. But the truth is, we were elected to be saved from before the foundation of the world. And God knew us. Yes, our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, but nevertheless, we didn't know God. And people have to, I don't know how they get the idea. They know that they didn't know God until God revealed himself to them. Well, it's all a matter of confusion, isn't it, in their minds? But the fact is that we did not know God, but he knew us. We did not trust in God on our own, but it was the Spirit of God working in us that brought us to that place. But even after we do know him, there are times when sometimes we wonder, do we really know God? Especially in times when we find ourselves sinning against Him. Do you ever wonder, for instance, if I really knew God, would I sin? But no matter what, and this is again what we would normally refer to as the perseverance or the preservation of the saints of God, no matter what, there is that voice within us that says, Thou art my God. Over in 1 John, chapter 3, he says in verse 19, And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Well, what is that assurance? Well, that if we love one another, right? That's the way we're assured. Because why? Because God has first loved us. And that love of God causes us to love one another. And then in verse 20, he makes this statement. He says, For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. There are times, if you'll have to admit, there are times when your heart condemns you. And you don't feel close to God. In fact, you feel far away from God. But if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Isn't that a comfort? Now, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. But if our heart does condemn us, know this, that God is greater than our hearts. The psalmist, then again, goes through all of this, his troubles, and yet he comes to this, But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. This is the life of a child of God. All these people that go around saying, well, you should never doubt. You should never have any fears. You shouldn't have any troubles. Well, it's questionable whether they've ever really known God. Because if you've never known God, you can never know what it means to be separated from Him, right? Or God to be separated from you. That's the reason that most people are going around. They think they're happy today. They don't know that they're separated from God or God separated from them. But it is our sin that separates us from the Lord, you know? It's the iniquity. And so God has to chastise us. And oftentimes, that chastisement comes simply through the fact that he withdraws himself to a distance. And then we begin to seek him, don't we? We begin to ask. But God, of course, again, never really forsakes us, but he will make us feel like it, he has. In Isaiah chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so, that is one reason sometimes that God withdraws far away. But more often than not, it's like the psalmist experience here in this 31st Psalm. It's that the enemies become so forceful around us that sometimes we wonder, has God given us over to our enemies? But no, he's still there. And there's always that voice down deep within us that cannot be rooted out, it cannot be denied, that always says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. That's the experience of God's people, day in and day out. And sometimes, how strong it is, you know? Sometimes it's just a weak voice that's saying that. But it's always the same. Thou art my God. Oh, what a blessed people we are if that is true in our lives.